Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Fox with a couple of free throws makes it 123-115. And Sacramento's magical start to Doug Christie's coaching career is continuing. Bucket by Moses Moody. 8 seconds, 7 seconds. Curry says let it go. Monk will dribble it up. And the ball game's over. Final score will be Sacramento 123, Golden State 117. Post game show's upcoming on the 95.7 The Game Warriors Radio Network, presented by United Airlines.
Tim Roy on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. And oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. I'm a little deflated this morning. I'm not going to front. I'm not going to lie to you people out there in the streets as we say good morning to everybody out there. Get off the graveyard shift, all of the overnight dancers, all the firefighters, all the cops. I saw a high-speed chase last night going on the way home, man. There was some going eastbound towards Oakland. What the hell's going on here? But in Sacramento, the Warriors were losing, and they were lighting the beam after they blew a 17-point halftime lead, up 18 in the second half. That 17-point lead dissipated in a matter of 12 minutes in the third quarter. And they lose to drop the 1-2 on this pivotal 9-game stretch. And they have to do it again tonight against the Chicago Bulls, who haven't played since Sunday. Yeah, that's a devastating one. That's a tough one. And that's tough to stomach, especially coming off the conversation we ended the show with yesterday, where some people were resigned to the fact that, hey, this is who they are, and they're okay with it. Well, I'll just say right now, I'll never be okay with losing. And I'll never be okay with losing in the way they did last night with all the unforced turnovers. They got outscored in fast break points 28-0. I can't recall an NBA team not scoring a fast break point, but also losing a fast break category 28-0. How about this one, Shasky? As I say good morning to you, Spadoni 11. The Warriors were leading points in the paint in the first half. In the first half, they were +7 in points in the paint. Points off turnovers. Points off turnovers, they were +7. 13-6. 13-6. Somehow, some way, they lost that category 27-16. I mean, this is unbelievable how they lost that game yesterday in the third quarter, getting outscored 37-20. And I'm deflated. I'm frustrated. It has more to do with the basketball game, of course, because we'll get into some other stuff that I just don't get. I just don't get what we're doing around these parts. But Warriors lose 123-117, and they're lighting the beam all night long in Sacramento.
So yesterday we were talking about in the 9 o'clock hour, like, hey, if the Warriors lose tomorrow, are you going to be angry? And some people were like, yeah, well, it depends on, you know, what it looks like. And other people were resigned to, like, I'm not angry. I'm frustrated we're in this position and where we're at. But I've also come to accept we're not a very good team. The Kings are a better team than the Warriors right now. They just are. And yesterday, another double-digit lead at halftime. And you could just feel it. No Warrior fan had to feel safe at halftime. You were thinking, what is going to happen? And in the third quarter, as well as the whole game, really, you could just see the difference of defensive intensity, length, athleticism, juice, the ability to get to the rim over and over and over. I mean, clearly De'Aaron Fox is extremely athletic. But it's not just him. Like, Malik Monk breaking guys off the dribble. Not necessarily going in for layups every time, but just breaking down the defense to kick the ball around and see the ball hopping. Look, I mean, that's a frustrating loss. I'm not here to like sugarcoat it. All right. To your point, we ain't giving out, you know, orange slices and fruit snacks. This is not the AYSO soccer team, you know, playing a 9U, all right, at South Sunset. There was some positives. I know. Sounds crazy.
No, it doesn't sound crazy. There was some positives.
This is going to sound insane. There were some guys that I was like, okay, I'll start here. Guy Santos could play on my team. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he's going to play. I don't think he's like some elite starter. But the guy has heart and he has game.
I like
Guy. I like him.
Look, the game's
Quinn
not.
Post can play.
The game's not too fast for Guy Santos. He can space the floor. He hustles. He plays his ass off. He talks that talk.
He can knock down a shot.
I'm telling you, man, I got to know Guy Santos a little bit. I like the guy. I like the guy on and off the floor. He can play. I don't mind him getting minutes. The guy's going to, look, he's got to learn how to, you know, he's going to miss some shots. He's going to miss some assignments here and there, but the guy's playing his ass off
effort's
in the game.
Effort's not a problem.
And effort's not a problem. Confidence is not a problem. And the game doesn't seem too big for him. Quinton Post, you just mentioned. The second round pick.
I got some
space in the floor. And a lot of people have been asking about Quinton Post. Well, having a stretch five. You can see the vision. You can see what he can do on the floor by bringing out the bigs here. And then defensively, I mean, he was an ACC all-defensive team member. He was second-team all-ACC at Boston College. He's 24 years old. He's from Amsterdam. He's Dutch. He had a chance to play overseas, but he decided to come over to America to play college basketball. So he starts off at Mississippi State, doesn't get a lot of play time. Transfers to Boston College. He's got some seasoning for being in college for so damn long. And you know what? He looked like he belonged yesterday. I was encouraged.
I was too. Look, and I sound so crazy right now, but like I'm being real. I actually felt a little more optimistic. Now, look, the big overarching theme when it comes to the Warriors, and it's almost undeniable. Just what direction are we going in? That's what we want to know from the organization. And I know the next 2 weeks are going to tell us in terms of the deadline. I get that. I get that. But God, I wanted it yesterday. Like, I just pick a lane. Like, when I watched Quinton Post yesterday, do I think he's a starter who's impact? No. But alongside Kuminga, when you pull the five out of the key, Kuminga will have lanes to operate. When you have a stretch like that, here's the other thing. They were blitzing Curry at the top of the key from almost the beginning of the game. Double and triple teams with Curry. That made them late to get out of their sets. You know, Curry almost couldn't relocate in time because actually, Guy and Quinton Post were making really savvy passes at the elbow, and they were getting good looks from the three-point line, but you weren't getting the relocation shots from Steph Curry.
What the Warriors were doing was they were aggressive out of double P for the first time in a long time. So when Curry got blitzed, it got doubled, and he was swing, and you get to swing around. These guys were ready to shoot. Yes. They were ready to let it fly. So they were being aggressive out of the double T. But you know what really befuddled the Warriors and slowed them down in the third quarter? Again, they've got to figure out a way to navigate his own defense. They can't beat his own defense. The Sacramento Kings went zone for a big stretch in the third quarter, and the Warriors just didn't know what to do. They started turning the ball over, and that third quarter was the game. Because in the fourth quarter, sure, it was nip and tuck, and it was a game of runs. But you know what?
Who was the
that
lineup
third quarter,
that
third
frustrated
quarter,
you?
Well, it wasn't even just the lineup. It was the overall team that frustrated me. The lineup combinations is what it is. People go crazy over that.
I think part of beating a zone, I think this is important. Part of beating a zone is there's two ways. Elite passing and shooting, where you're skipping the ball back and forth and the defense has to rotate, or penetration and kickouts.
Yeah, but they weren't doing any of that.
That's my point.
And this is against Miami.
That's
this is against there's another. Who else ran? Is Toronto at times?
They don't have the personnel.
Well, it's not even just personnel. You can beat it with the personnel they have. They just, I don't know if they've ever, I'm sure they practice against the zone or whatnot, but for whatever reason, the zone befuddles them. They don't get 2 feet in the paint, and they stopped doing that in the third quarter. They stopped going to the paint when they were doing that in the first half, and they settled for the three-point shot in the third quarter, going 1-10 from three in the third quarter. They turned the ball over 8 times, and how many live ball turnovers did they have in that third quarter where the Kings didn't even have to, this is easy. We'll just get out on the break again. 28 at the fast break points. So in that third quarter, they give up 8 fast break points. They get outscored in the paint 22-14. And then another thing that was trending in the wrong direction at the end of the first half was that the Kings started getting to the free throw line. Mm-hmm. They're 11-12 at the half. Well, in the second half alone, they go 19-20. They're the fourth best free throw shooting team in the league. They hit their free throws. And on the flip side, the Warriors don't get to the free throw line because they don't get 2 feet in the paint. They don't drive with aggressiveness, and with the zone, they just became hesitant. Yeah. It was very frustrating.
Well, and I would also add to that Keon Ellis and Keegan Murray They're elite defenders. Like, I thought Keegan did a great job using his. What's that?
Say, Keon Ellis could play.
Yeah, that's
why Mike Brown got fired, because he wasn't playing Keon Ellis.
No, he absolutely can. But, like, their length and their tenaciousness out on the perimeter and their ability to move laterally was excellent yesterday. And I thought they did a great job as a team, rotating and sending over that second and third blitzer. And even though I thought the ball hopped much better than I anticipated for the most part for the Warriors. Mm-hmm. And I'm just telling you, like, the Kings are just a more athletic, faster, better team right now. And then your point about free throws. How many times did Malik Monk get the ball to the block on a drive penetration where either he pump fakes and either goes up or kicks out? How many times did De'Aaron Fox do that, whether it was in transition or in the half court? How many times did a variety of guys, like, and this guy, DeRozan, get all the way to the lane, pump fake, guy leaves their feet, and now he's going to the free throw line. I'm watching Andrew Wiggins, and I thought Andrew had a good game yesterday. But Andrew, I look at someone like DeRozan and his ability to know that he needs to get to the midi and get to the mid-range.
Well, that's his whole game. That's been his whole game his entire career.
That's
as a
the guy.
Jumper.
If I'm Andrew Wiggins, so, I'd be looking at him as
Wiggins,
I'm starting to get older.
But Wiggins was good. Wiggins was good.
He was good yesterday.
He had, I think, a career high tie game. Well, the season high in 5 bay threes last night.
But Vonta, he doesn't jump stop in the lane. So he does a lot of these
at
runners.
At times he does.
And DeRozan's whole game is, I'm jump stopping in the lane. I'm going to pump fake. You're going to leave your feet. I'm going to go to the free throw line. And it stops the momentum. It gives their defense a chance to set itself up. I mean.
Well, he had 24 of his 32 in the second half. DeRozan, I thought,
he was excellent in that second half.
Where he said, just give me the ball on my back and let's roll. And he was 9-12 in the second half. From the floor, 24 points in all. And you could see, okay, when De'Aaron Fox is not rolling, mm-hmm. who is not rolling, I got another guy who could go out there and get a bucket. Malik Monk is so damn fast, and he's so damn good. I love his game. But Sabonis and DeMar DeRozan, where Sabonis is sprinting from inline. So I got to give Sabonis credit, man. This guy's flipped his body. Not necessarily flipped his body, but he doesn't look as stiff when I'm watching him. He's moving around very fluidly, and he's moving around, and I'm like, okay, let's go. I see you, Sabonis, and he's getting the ball. When he gets the ball to the post, he would have this thing where he had the ball down by his mm-hmm. knees, and he would take so long to rise up and get the ball up above the rim. Now when he's in the post, he's getting the ball, and he's going right up with it. He's not waiting around for the defense to set. He's being very decisive in what he does. So right now, Sabonis is balling. Doug Kersey has these guys, but when you mention the Kings are just more athletic than them.
They are.
We could say that about every single team in the league right now. The Miami Heat are more athletic than the Warriors. The Toronto Raptors are more athletic than the Warriors. Tonight, when Chicago comes to town, and I'm not sure if Kobe White's going to play, but you know what? If they have Kobe White and Zach LaVine in the backcourt, guess what? That's a lot of athleticism. The Warriors, every single night, with the way their roster is constructed right now, with the old guys, with the youngsters, and Kuminga not being here, every single night, they got OKC coming up. They have the Lakers coming up. You got Phoenix coming up. Utah, hell, they got some athleticism on that team. The Warriors are at a disadvantage athletically on most nights. But you can still win games, but you can't make it easy for the other team when you turn the damn ball over.
But it's not. Look, the turnovers were horrible.
Oh,
19
unforced turnovers. 19 turnovers. You had 7 at the half.
But I think the what's worse than the turnovers, because the turnovers are bad. No, it's the rebounds where a guy catches it at the free throw line on one end and just dribbles past 6 or 7 guys.
Yeah, I'm looking at the ball control. I'm looking at the turnovers here.
Flew by five different guys multiple times on just rebounds. It's all of that. It's the transition game. That's where the athleticism really.
Yeah, no, but last night though, when you have the live ball turnovers, you're turning it over at the 3-point line and they're going into 3-on-1 situation all night long.
I thought the Kings on ball defense was tenacious.
28-0 when it comes to fast break points. And that's based off the live ball turnovers you're having when you're 35 feet away from the hoop. They're just throwing it right to guys. So they didn't keep their composure. They get outscored in the second half, by the way, 75-52. So to me, when we had that conversation yesterday about fans, you know, I'm resigned to it. We've already won the championships. I'm not cut from that cloth, man. There's a lot of season left. There's a chance of getting to this damn box. There's a chance of getting to the top six. But you're blowing it by having these unforced turnovers. The Warriors are beating themselves with this as they match their largest blown lead of the season. They did it against Brooklyn when Schroeder was there. And by the way, Dennis Schroeder, I'm not here to rip him. But have you seen enough in terms of he's a good player. He really is. He's been on eight different teams. And I get the Mike Dunleavy. It was a shrewd move to get somebody in place of DeAnthony Melton, another ball handler, a guy who could play point of attack defense. But last night was probably his low point with the Golden State Warriors. It doesn't look like a good fit.
No.
I mean, I'm sorry.
There was the play where Steve Kerr lost his mind on the kickball, you know, where they went.
Yeah.
And he just stopped running. And I'm like, what? And I don't want to pick on him because I do like him. I do like him. But, boy, it hasn't worked at all, B. There's no one. But getting back to your thing.
It's been 18 games.
I'm super frustrated, right? I'm super frustrated for a variety of things. But, like, angry. I'm not angry. I'm more disappointed that I've come to accept this is where they're at.
I'm not accepting that. It's the same thing with the Giants.
Why?
It's the same thing when I said.
But they are.
When I said what I said about the Giants a couple years ago, when I said I'm not spending a dime on them because I can't accept being mediocre. I can't accept saying, you know what, our season's over in May. It is what it is. Let's go see some prospects.
But two of the top four
players. I can't roll like that.
But two of their top four players aren't playing.
I hear that.
I mean, they're playing a guy who's played like four games this year.
No, I feel you on that. You control what you control. And you can control turnovers. You can control not reaching. You can control not settling for bad three-point shots. You can control all those things. And if you just go into the fourth quarter with, say, a nine-point lead, like the fact is, they had a 17-point lead at the half. It is pretty hard to blow a 17-point lead in one quarter.
Quarter
of ball.
But
that is hard. So I'm sorry. As long as I got Stephen Curry, and by the way, I'm never trading Stephen Curry. I don't know what the hell has been going on around the station where people are talking about trading Stephen Curry. I hear hosts talk about, are you a damn dummy? No, you don't trade this guy. You see the open shots he's creating for other people? He had a double-double yesterday. Come on. Get this guy a little bit of help here. So the deadline's going to be fascinating to see it. The Warriors are working. And I think they're trying to figure out what direction do we go in. But damn, I'm sorry. Losing that game, especially against Sacramento. That's the other thing. It's the Sacramento Kings who have been our little brother for so long. Now, guess what? They're laughing, lighting the beam, saying, we beat you five straight times,
well,
Warrior fans.
They're a better team.
I'm not resigning to that,
mean?
Man. I'm not resigning to that. They had a 17-point lead. I'm going to feel the way I feel. I'm not resigning to the fact that you have a 17-point lead. You're playing the right way. They make over 23s. They drop over 30 assists. And yet the unforced turnovers and the fouling has got to stop. So I'm going to be frustrated about a tough loss like that. I'm
going to
be frustrated.
But like, I'm watching the first half. And the Warriors were playing good. I thought they were playing inspired basketball.
Half.
No one's guarding GP2, like, ever. So it's basically 4-on-5 defense at all times, right?
Yep.
They're never going to guard him. They're just not. And I like the guy. I do. I like the guy. But if you just watch how they're defending Steph Curry, there are five sets of eyeballs staring at him the entire time.
No doubt.
And basically, I mean, the book is out. Hey, look, buddy, we dare you to go for 25 tonight. Hey, GP2, we dare you to hit a couple of threes. Wiggins, you can get all the points you want. It's not going to matter. We are not letting 30 beat
us. Smart.
It is smart.
Teams should be doing this.
And look, this goes back to the eyeballs, analytics, manalytics. Bonte, you've been on this. I just did a little dive. And the numbers would tell you, the numbers would say, Buddy and Claire having comparable seasons, right? Just watch the games. This is why you got to watch the games. They don't honor Buddy the way they honored Clay.
Yep.
Just they don't. You have to watch the games. The way teams sag off of Buddy, the way they defended Clay, the way they have to honor him, the way that the teams have to rotate because they are afraid that he's going to actually do something. Teams are looking, and I'm not trying to rip Buddy, but they're looking at him. They're like, yeah, we dare you to go off.
Well, you know what's funny?
So the numbers look the same, but the eyeball tells you a totally different story.
And it's a different situation in Dallas with Luka and Kyrie.
No doubt.
The style of play.
I'm just saying, like, the eyeballs.
No doubt. They play at a slower pace down in Dallas. They're a half-court team more so. They don't get out and run where the Warriors want to get up and down. But I mean, good Lord, man. Buddy, here's the funny part. When Buddy scores 18-plus, the Warriors are 10-0. He was stuck on that 17. Stuck on that 17. And he actually had a decent game, man. I thought it was encouraging. And hopefully it's a step in the right direction for him.
That shot before the end of the quarter was awesome.
But you know what else is adding to the frustration? And I'll bring it up on the other side. I'll bring it up because we're going to get to the calls on the other side. Casey Johnson is going to join us from Chicago. He covers the Chicago Bulls. The Draymond Green podcasting.
I just
do we need to continue talking about Jordan Poole?
Yeah, just
all of a sudden, you're not the victim. You can't tell somebody when to move on from what happened. And how has Jordan Poole been the more mature one since that punch? How? It's just, it leaves a sour taste in my mouth, and I want to get into that at some point, but we'll get to the calls about last night. Sebastian Oscar, coach, we're going to get you all on the other side as we get this bad boy rolling. Shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by Golden State Silver the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. That's what's coming up to you, brought to you by Honda of Vallejo.
Forth this game goes. What a good game tonight. Santos, right sideline, three. Got it! From Schroeder, three Santos with another bucket.
The Nation, it's Guy Santos here. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonta Hill and Joe Sasky on 957 The Game.
Guy with a career high last night, 16 points. This is a very fun basketball game, not going to lie. Great environment. But in that fourth quarter, it was wild. The Warriors were going to 8-0 run. The Kings going to 13-0 run. The Warriors go back on the 8-0 run. It was wild. Nip and tuck, back.
Curry off the floor, too.
Curry off the floor. He had some great moments for Guy Santos, great moments for Buddy Hield. But it was a tough loss. There's no doubt a tough loss here, Shatsy. Let's get to the lines, because we'll get to the Draymond. I honestly, I'll say this on the front end. I know we have to do it because Sports Talk Radio, and people want to get What's into that? It. I don't. We'll play it a couple times because I'm sure the audience has already heard it. I just thought the Draymond little podcast clip about the Jordan Poole apology was just unnecessary. Yeah, it's just.
You know what my setting is?
And Monty Poole wrote an article the other day about he believed that he was sincere about the apology. And didn't you see that clip yesterday? And it says, well, was he really sincere about the apology? Like, was he really sincere about it? I don't know. Question it now.
He got into the podcast thing telling us how new media is going to talk about basketball. And all the podcast has done has not talked about basketball.
Not for a while. It originally did. It was really good, I thought. And now it's just like,
yeah, my setting now is that I think it's a distraction. And I have now, he wants everyone to move on. Well, I've moved on. And here's what I'm going to say. Get on the floor and I'll start talking about you as the player. That's what I'd like to do.
I like to keep it basketball.
No,
all the
I know,
time.
But I'm kind of exhausted. But
the Jordan Poole thing is like, you sent out the tweet, let's just leave it alone.
Well, he did.
And the fact that, you know, and Barron, God bless his soul, they're trying to pivot to where Jordan Poole just wants to keep it going. Jordan Poole's never mentioned him by name. Jordan Poole's never even talked about it. He's never even discussed it. And I tell you what, that arena loved Jordan. Jordan Poole's taking photos with the security guards, the ushers, GP2, Wiggins, and Looney are yucking it up. He went in the locker room, talked to Steph afterwards. They were having some fun. He went to the equipment room. Jordan Poole was loved. But the fact that we got a podcast that kind of bring up the fact that you went at it with his pops, and you know, if you called a man a B word and you pushed me, what do you expect? Well, Draymond, you called all kind of guys B words. All kind of guys B words. Like, I can't believe. I'm sorry, man. This is tiring. This is tiring. When does this stop? Every single week, there's something that has nothing to do with basketball from Draymond Green, and right now he's not even playing. So I don't want to spend too much time on that because it's just.
I think you and I are in agreement. Like, he wants everyone move on. All right, well, we're moving on.
We're trying to.
Can you get on the floor? I'd like to talk about you on the floor.
Yeah.
Because they miss you.
Maybe, yeah.
And you're supposed to be one of the most important players on this team. You're supposed to demonstrate leadership and all that. Like, the team misses you. You know, last night, how many times was Curry double and triple teamed? Mm-hmm. And he is throwing the ball to someone who has to now initiate offense in a 3-on-4 situation, mm-hmm. right? And I actually thought, and no one's going to like have this opinion today, maybe, I don't know. I thought Quentin Post showed me like, okay, he's not bad.
Quentin Post ain't bad.
And you know what else I thought about?
And Guy Santos.
Guy did a great job. They were catching the ball at the elbow. They had room to operate. They squared up to the hoop. Well, I was like, oh,
triple
you're a
threat position.
And then number two was they were kicking it out to the out to the wings. And I really liked what I saw. How refreshing was it? And I'm not trying to knock TJD or Looney, to just have a legit 7-footer just be a big body at the rim. Yep. It was just refreshing. And look, I don't know how good he is, but to me, that guy can't get minutes.
Well, he will.
He can't get minutes.
He will now.
And then you saw glimpses of the stretch five shooting where they have to at least honor him out there. Now I'm more inclined to like, okay, get me Vucevic. Overpay for Vucevic. Screw it. Get me him. Because if I get a stretch five, it's going to open up the floor for Wiggins and Kuminga to attack the rim.
Wow, by the way, you know what's back? You know what's back? The YouTube chat is back. The YouTube chat is back, folks. Oh, let's go to the lines. Oscar Stockton, what's up, man?
Hey, Oscar.
Hey, hey, how you guys doing, man?
I'm a little frustrated this morning, Oscar. I'm a little frustrated.
I know you is. I seen you last night. I was frustrated, too, but I wasn't really because I'm out here in Stockton. I'm like right now, I'm going here while these cats that, they Kings fans, but it's not a thing. But I knew we was going to be trying to lose the game because the Kings is on fire right now, and we undermanned. But what I didn't see, because I've been telling my wife, because I got my own podcast, too. I've been telling my wife, not a podcast like that, but I just talk about things. Quitting post, I keep on telling everybody, and G. Santos. You got to understand, G. Santos got experience from the Olympics. He was balling in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. He was balling, and he's a big body. And everybody's sleeping on Quitting post. I've been watching this cat play since college. Quitting post is a big guy and not a dump truck. You guys going to see that. If they give him time, he's going to open some eyes up. We don't need to go get no juice and shit. I'm telling you guys right now, the Warriors know what they're doing.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schler of the Vasinga Truth Podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
People's ripping them. I'm not going to rip the organization that is one of the top organizations. I'm not going to rip the owner because I know they're not dummies. We lost the game last night, okay, but we had some good points. The third quarter, I was throwing my hat because what Schroeder was doing the third quarter was the whole key, and that's where we lost to that.
Oscar, we got to roll here. Good call. Let's just see what direction ain't going. The deadline's February 6th. Let's see what direction ain't going. Let's go to Sebastian in Monterey. Sebastian, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I understand the frustration right now. It is just, it seems like there's no end to it. Every night we talk about different players that show signs of sparks and, oh, we see something. And we just can't seem to find anyone that gives us any consistency. And that's where I think our frustration's coming from, on top of obviously losing. But, you know, where do we go from here? You know, you look at people like Wiggins. I don't want to bash the guy for taking personal time. You got to do what you got to do. That's important. But you better be like a Stephen Curry. You better be bringing like a game to have that kind of leeway. It's the NBA. You know, all these other guys are going out there. So, you know, I think Wiggins, even though he's playing pretty good this year, you get a lot of trade capital in him. I think that's a good place to start. But, you know, it is just frustrating.
We're going to have Bobby Marks on. We're going to have Bobby Marks on a little later in the show, in the 9 o'clock hour. And this is a guy who was an analyst for ESPN, obviously, but a front office guy. And I'm going to ask him that same question about Andrew. I like Andrew. I don't want to part with him. Bonte's talked about this. Like, he does bring value. But also, if they pick a direction that is the direction of we need to kind of hollow out, I think he's got the most value in return, but I don't know what that is. And I'm going to ask Bobby that exact question.
Let's go to Coach in Vallejo. Coach, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Last night, we saw a master class of the master of the mid-range, okay, in DeMar DeRozan.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, also, if you look at Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, their lifetime three-point percentage is 32. Kuminga's is 34. Kuminga can be a master of the mid-range. He likes that shot. Kawhi Leonard likes that shot. And Steve Kerr ridiculed him for taking contested, you know, 10, 15-footers. DeMar DeRozan is the master of that. I'd rather see him shoot a three-pointer than shoot a contested 10, 15-footer. It's automatic. Even Chris Paul. There are players like that, but Kerr will not let Kuminga do that. Also, too, Kuminga is the only one on the team that could possibly get the other team in foul trouble, okay? He draws fouls. Even if he doesn't make it, he puts the team in foul trouble. So when the good foul shooters like Hield and Steph and Schroeder get, you know, Kuminga has built up the foul total. So I wish Kerr would allow Kuminga to play his game and don't be just dunk or three-pointers. Let that guy shoot contested shots. You let him jump over guys and make the shot, because all of the great players like Kobe, LeBron, Jordan, you know, DeRozan, these guys, that's their game. And I would just like to see Kerr take the shackles off Kuminga.
What did you think of Quinn Post, Coach?
I thought he was fantastic.
Me too.
Okay, you know what? He's a lot tougher than what I thought.
He held
his ground in there.
Yeah.
He grabbed some rebounds in there. He made smart passes in there. I listened to his post-game interview. He knows the game. He knows who he is. I think he should get a lot more playing time. I like this kid. I really do.
He will get some playing time. You got to think about this kid. He was second-team All-ACC last season, ACC Most Improved Player, also All-ACC Defensive Team his senior year at Boston College. And there was a lot of players in the ACC. But this is a conference that has Duke, Carolina, Georgia Tech, Syracuse, Maryland, you name it. For him to make All-ACC Defensive Team tells you something as a big man. So I do like Quentin Pulse. I think he impressed yesterday. And his coach is right. He is tougher. He's tough, man. He holds his own.
What'd you think of that late? He had the ball, and he was doing like a, Steph's kind of curling off him, and he just kind of turned a little. I didn't think it was that egregious. I get why it was called a foul. Did you like that call?
Did Steve Kerr have a challenge in his pocket?
I don't know.
Because if he had a challenge in his pocket, I was thinking, like, challenge that.
I thought it was kind of weak, but I see why they called it. In the calls,
in all the physicality they were letting go yesterday, I thought it was a weak-ass call, to be honest with you. I thought the call was terrible.
Well, because when you do it,
he barely had a contact.
That's what I'm saying.
And it was more of a flop to me than it was, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's a foul? That's really a foul?
Well, I think he's a way better passer than I thought. And here's the other thing. When you double Steph, to be able to throw it to a 7-footer who actually has really long arms that can jump a little, like, that makes it a lot easier on that high pick and roll. I thought they ran more pick and roll yesterday than I've seen in months because of all the double teams.
Well, Steve Kerr said that without Draymond Green, you play a more traditional brand of basketball, and I kind of like the brand of basketball they're playing right now.
Ball was hopping.
The ball was hopping. 31 assists last night and over 22 made threes, but the problem is you have the turnovers, points off turnovers. Again, they were a +7 at the half in terms of points off turnovers. In the second half, they were a minus 18 when it came to points off turnovers.
And then the free
throw—that's pretty impressive. I don't know how you do that.
And then the free throw disparity,
19 to 20 in the second half.
Yeah, it felt like to me the Kings got to the line over and over again. I was just doing a deep dive. They're 14th, the Warriors, in fourth quarter free throw attempts. So they're like middle of the pack. But they're the worst fourth quarter free throw shooting team in the league.
It's not just the fourth. It's not just the fourth quarter. They're the worst free throw shooting team in the league.
No, I understand that. But how many times have we talked about clutch games?
Yeah,
and
I mean,
a make or a miss here and there really makes it a one or two possession game or a two or a three possession game.
They don't make free throws.
They're the worst. The worst in the league.
It's the worst free throw. I said it last week. He goes, well, yeah, Bonte, they don't have a lot of shooters. And I was saying they're the worst free throw shooting team in the league with Stephen Curry on a squad. And I think it's finally starting to register with people. They're the worst free throw shooting team in the league.
Well, you
with Stephen Curry on the team.
You would think with their fourth quarter, the way they play basketball, the ball wouldn't be in the hands of some of the weaker free throw shooters as much. So I was thinking, oh, maybe it's just, you know, the body of the game and not at the end. No. It's also at the end. Also.
It's not good. They're missing threes. Also, just everything that happened yesterday, I really wanted that game because it would have diffused everything and kind of blocked the noise. But walking into that game, you got to deal with the Draymond Green clip. And I would love for Tyler Baylor to call the show because I would love for people to like because there's people who still think that, well, Poole's the loser. You know who turned the corner yesterday when it came to Jordan Poole? You wouldn't believe it. Mark Willard. I was driving in and Mark Willard, we'll bring it up on either side. He turned a new leaf. Basically said he was bamboozled. What? Mark Willard? Oh, boy. All right. That's coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonta Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Bonta.
Brandon Pajemski may be back tonight as well as Kyle Anderson. Brandon Pajemski's missed 12 straight games with the right abdominal strain. I don't know if you saw it before the game. He slipped on the floor in Sacramento. Mark Jones went to go help him up, and I see Kenny Caraway right there just standing there. I'm like, Kenny, help him up, man. Help him up. As he slipped on the floor, maybe they had a hockey game at the Golden One Center. Who the hell knows? But Brandon Pajemski could be back today for the Golden State Warriors as we talk some dubs.
That's your question. I know you're going to get into something that someone said about Jordan Poole, but is there any other media contingent who posts themselves on the court before and after games more than Kings media contingents?
I'm not. Warriors do it too.
Maybe it's just because I follow them.
No, we do it a lot.
I never see Slater post anything.
Oh, Slater never posts. Slater's never been a poster, but I used to post. Whitley post.
Did you?
KD? Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I used to post a lot on the court. Yeah.
It just feels like KC, D'Lo, always on the floor. Right. But that's Madsen.
At some point, you just Styles. Move on from it. I mean, we're guilty of it down here in Golden State. You know, but I kind of stopped doing it. Whatever. You kind of been there, done that before. By the way, 2 days for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. As this segment is also brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. The Draymond thing, after losing last night, we're going to get back into the game, but I'm going to get to Coach Hall, and I see some calls lighted up here. 888-957-9570 is the number. Are you frustrated with the loss? Are you still contempt? Because I know the conversation we had at 9 o'clock hour, I was kind of bewildered by it, thinking that people are not going to get angry about these losses. We're just halfway through the season. Warriors dropped to 21-22. But what happened in the afternoon, and I'll just let Draymond, from the Draymond Green Show, we'll just get this out of the way now. Because I really don't want to talk about it for the rest of the show. I really don't. And I just thought, hey, dude, like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Here's Draymond Green on tweeting the apology about Poole.
I responded because, you know, like, it's been 3 years. Like, let's move on, you know? Like,
where's the love?
We moved on. Like, you're supposed to move on, man. I really am sorry. Right. Like, that statement was kind of like it was looking for some sympathy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I kind of keep wanting to make me out to be the bad guy. Move on, bro. Like, it is what it is. I'm sorry. Like, I should have punched him. But, you know, it happened. Like, let's move on, man.
Yeah,
I,
you know,
I even apologized to his parents because, you know, I got his dad popped off one time on the internet, and I went back at him because it was just like, bro, why are you popping off? And I actually didn't like myself for it because I wasn't even on that. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I kind of let him get me off my square a little bit.
All right, more on this. Draymond, on how he feels about the punch.
You know, I'd be kind of going back and forth with this on, like, I'd be kind of in between, you know, on certain days, like, yo, I know I was wrong, but you can't call a man a B-word and push him and not get hit either. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I kind of, like, you know, so I kind of sit in both of those spaces sometimes. And, yeah, like, the reality is, the answer is probably somewhere in the middle, right? Like, I shouldn't have knocked him out like that. If anything, I should have hemmed him up. Kind of was just a natural reaction. So the reality is, like, I probably should have hemmed him up or something like that.
All right, the first cut. I mean, the first cut. He thinks that Jordan Poole was looking for sympathy. What I think is Jordan Poole was asked a question, and Jordan Poole said, yeah, I love the guys here. I love most of the guys here. He had to look on his face, but that's Jordan Poole really hasn't discussed the situation at all. Over find me something that where he's talked about it incessantly. This season alone, I've seen Draymond talk about it in an article. I've seen him talk about it on the Penny Hardaway podcast. And then we saw the apology on Saturday night. I am really sorry. And then people believe that, you know what, Draymond really is sorry and he feels a little guilty about it. Well, by listening to that, it just sounds like he just apologized, say, yeah, all right, bro, move on. He almost ruined his career. I didn't think the guy was going to come back from it the way he was playing last season, Jordan Poole. I was like, damn, he might be rattled for good. Remember Rudy Tomjanovich, who got clocked by Kermit Washington back in the 70s? He was never the same as a player, but Jordan Poole has bounced back. He's averaging a career high in points, and he said what he said. He didn't mention Draymond by name. Draymond's the one who keeps bringing it up. Just leave it alone. Let it breathe. And you can't tell a victim to move on. The victim will move on when they move on. Like, let's be real, man. This is, we got to stop. I don't care that Draymond Green podcast. I'm not here to say shut up and play. No, I'm all for players having their podcast. What, I don't care. Like, I don't care. I don't care what you do in your off time. I really don't. But that was just a lack of self-awareness just to say, you know what? Move on, bro. Move on. I get it. You're looking for sympathy. No, he's not looking for sympathy. He got the sympathy last year. But he's getting love now. So I don't even know how we came to that point.
You don't put out a fire by blowing a bunch of oxygen into it, right?
It's well said.
You know, and I think that every time that he opens his mouth and breathes oxygen into it or tweets about it, you know, you're doing too much. And look, there's going to come a day where my son is going to have some sort of an incident with someone else. And I'm not here to say that I'm treating these two guys, Jordan Poole or Draymond Green, like my son. That's not, I'm just using this as an example. There's going to be a day that comes. And look, there is a time and a place to address things. But 9 times out of 10, the golden rule is less is more.
Yes.
And I think that if I were to look at the two ways of dealing with way that they've dealt with it, I don't know what led up to it. You said victim. I do believe, like, from what I know, I don't know much, but from what I know, yeah, Poole's more of a victim, but I also don't know what led up to it. So I'm trying to be somewhat fair in that sense. If I was, like, recommending to my son how to handle things in a situation like this down the line, I would tell LJ, you should probably conduct yourself more like Jordan Poole than the way Draymond Green has conducted himself. And just because I think less is more, and the more you bring it up, and the more you tweet, and the more you are continuing to put oxygen to the fire, and you're making the fire bigger and bigger and bigger.
You're giving life to it.
You don't stomp out the fire or whatever the smoke is by continuing to blow into it. And quite frankly, people's minds are made up, and the more you talk, you're only making it worse.
I mean,
I just want to talk about this guy playing basketball.
Look, man,
you've been talking about this, and I'm you know where I stand on Draymond, and that's the part where it's frustrating, because now it's like I feel like I've been here for a couple years, and I'm not expecting people to come to the same conclusions as me as everything. But it sure feels like more and more people are being illuminated to where I've been at with Draymond, and it's just, I kind of just throw my hands up. I'm like, okay. Like, what more you need to see for those that are holding out?
Well, I mean, that's why I laughed last season when Klay got labeled as having a bad attitude, as Klay was the bad guy. As Klay, and I saw it earlier this week where people think that, oh, man, Klay was worse in the locker room. He was so much more detrimental than anybody on the roster. I had a reporter out here in the market say that, oh, Klay Thompson was 10 times worse than Draymond ever was. Like, come on, man. Come on. And the fact is, too, I just wonder, and I can't speak for them, but with Dwayne Poole, I mean, he spent the summer with GP2. They were hanging out all summer long. Gary Payton II. And then Andrew Wiggins. We know their relationship. Kevon Looney, being from Milwaukee, he looks up to Kevon Looney as big bro. And the fact is that Draymond did that to a guy who looked up to him, who wanted his locker next to him. And now we're sitting there saying, well, you can't call the guy B. Well, Draymond, you call guys B words all the time on the floor.
How long
it's just so crazy. Kevin Durant, if Staples Center with now Crypto.com Arena for the 18,700 people in the game on against the Clippers on a Monday night, you call him the B word on the B. You call him the B word on the bench. What's KD supposed to do? You can't call a man a beast, so KD's just supposed to fire you. Like, that's ridiculous.
I'll tell you, this is where I'm, like, frustrated. The team is free-falling.
Right.
We don't know where they're going. We have no idea what the direction is. And look at how, and I know why we're doing it. Look what we're talking about. Look what we're talking about. Kuminga's been out for, what, 3 weeks, 2 weeks? I don't even know. How long has he been out?
It's been 9 straight games.
Have we heard a peep?
January 4th.
Have we heard a peep?
Nope.
Have we heard a peep? Like, this is why, and I know everyone's like, hey, they could do whatever they want. Players could podcast this. Like, this particular podcast has done more, like, eye-rolling and more, like, distraction stuff
you know what?
To the team that's free-falling than it has helped.